Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. In 1999, music stopped being hardware like CDs, vinyl records, tapes, or printed music, and reverted back to what it had always been anyway, software, an audio experience of a musical code. Napster, the file-sharing program, meant that with just a few clicks, one could listen to virtually any recorded music without paying a dime.
How many MP3s do you have on your computer?
About 600.
Maybe like 100 or something?
6 or 7,000.
Napster.
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 It's called file sharing, seen by some as the wave of the future.
File sharing of MP3 files and other digital formats dodged the $18 price for a CD album and threatened the profligate wealth of the record industry. Billions of dollars in revenue vanished overnight as consumers got used to the idea of free music. The Recording Industry Artists Association says that revenues have fallen more than 40% from their peak in 1999. The story of business, culture, and copyrights is the subject of this week's Retro Report. And Lagan Siebert, producer for Retro Report, is here. Welcome.
No, thank you.
So how did Napster get started?
Well, Napster was started by a teenage programmer, Sean Fanning, and just had this idea that he thought that people should be able to share music digitally.
And it changed the experience of being a professional musician forever. Many years later, Robert Ellis describes how he's gone from being a recording artist to really pretty much touring all the time.
In the last few years, we've been on the road pretty much nonstop. I think we did 290-something days last year.
I would say touring represents probably 100% of my income. When I was a kid, if I had told myself what I was doing now, I would think that I'd be making a lot more money than I am, yeah.
So what is the impact on musicians like Robert Ellis and many others who've complained about Napster and actually went to court?
For a lot of artists, the net impact has hurt their bottom lines. For someone like Robert Ellis, he really doesn't have much album sales at all. One of the things that Ali Aidar, one of the people we spoke to for the story, who was one of the original programmers for Napster, talked about is that during those early days, they thought that the industry would eventually embrace Napster because it would help bring the artists and their fans closer together. Because through digital distribution, you can reach your fans directly. You can have conversations with your fans. And that has happened. For every Robert Ellis story, there's also stories of artists like Macklemore, who rose to fame through social media without the help of a record label.
Do you buy recorded music?
I buy recorded music. I grew up I went to college in 99 when Napster first came out. And so I was kind of in that perfect demographic. And in high school, I would say I spent pretty much all of my disposable income on music. And when Napster came out, I was definitely one of those people who said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can search for literally anything, music that I couldn't find in a store, music that wasn't in Tower Records. I definitely downloaded my fair share of music on Napster.
What brought you back to paying?
Well, both of my parents are singer-songwriters. So there came a time where I, when you stopped and thought about it for a second, you have to realize that it's definitely not sustainable. I mean, that said, it's much easier these days to not pay for music.
It's a totally new world, that's for sure. Retro Report tells the story. Lagan Siebert is a Retro Report producer telling the story of how Napster in 1999 changed the music forever. Thanks.
Thank you.
So what was the last piece of music you've paid for?
I buy CDs for bands I have an affinity for. I know that my generation downloads, which I am no exception. However, my favorite artists I still support by buying their music.
Hi, this is Ryan McLaughlin from Seattle. And even though I paid nothing for it, the U2 album on my iPhone costs me a little bit of something every time it accidentally plays.
U2, paying the price of U2. Call us at 877-8MYTAKE.